Welcome to The Lock-In, episode 12 for Friday, 15th of May, 2020. My name's Conor Muinichon. I work for Black Knight, and you can find out all about this show, where you can subscribe, etc., at thelockin.ie. You can subscribe to us on the Go Loud app. You may have heard of it. Lots of Irish radio stations are involved in that particular app. It's also where you can go to hear Matt Damon's interview, which was recorded with Spin 1038 recently. Did you hear that, Tracy, that interview?
Yeah, was he really in Dockey? Because I thought he wasn't in Dockey, but now I believe he is in Dockey. I just assumed it was...
He apparently is in Dockey and enjoying Irish lockdown life. So yeah. good for Matt anyway. Tracy Keogh, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Con.
Tracy, we've invited you to join us today because you're the founder of Grow Remote, which is something everybody's talking about. All of a sudden, remote working, people are suddenly discovering it. People are suddenly experts in it. People are discovering that it's not maybe as easy as they thought or they hoped, but it's certainly on everybody's lips at the moment. Tracy, very briefly, can you tell us, what is Grow Remote, or rather, what did it start out of like, and how has it been impacted by the advent of COVID-19?
I was only pitching yesterday, so I have this down. Grow Remote is on a mission to enable us to work, live and participate locally. And we do that by making remote work both visible and accessible. By remote work, we mean employed salaried roles that just don't have to have to occur in an office or a defined location. And ultimately, we want location available everywhere. We started a bit like the Mel of old rural Ireland. So essentially, we all had the problem in our communities of lack of employment. Traditional models weren't working for us. So like, can you go up to Salesforce and say, open up 10 desks in Clonakilty? Probably not, because you have to get in there. You have to convince them. It's just, it's not a viable model. So we then stumbled upon remote work. We realized there was a huge deficit or lack of awareness around what remote work is and that the jobs are indeed already here. And so then we just began kind of very mission driven, didn't really know how you would actually do anything, but kept on taking actions. Bias for action is one of our values. And then we grew into a couple of countries and 120 plus local communities, totally volunteer to date and no funds in.
The last time I was talking to you, Tracy, there was a things were moving along. You had big plans for 2020, specific things going to happen. And that was before COVID-19. What has been the impact on Grow Remote of COVID-19? Have you had to change your focus? Do
you know when a dog chases a squirrel? And then the squirrel stops and the dog is like, oh my God, I don't know what to do here, and runs the other direction. That was us. We were like, we want it. And then it all just came once and we were like, I don't know. So I suppose I was saying to you, instantly there was a huge amount of, I suppose, newly unemployed people. And we were like, right, let's get to them first, because we don't need to create any more like locationless employment. The jobs are there. We need to make sure they have direct access. Shopify, eBay, you know, a company called Remote themselves, they got the domain remote.com. And they are hiring now for a bunch of roles, like 60 to 80,000 anywhere in Ireland, anywhere in the European time zone. But anyway, so we started on that and supporting them. And then we realized that we had a job of work to do with companies as well. So we began these weekly webinars on top of, I was telling you, we had like 800 queries dealt with in a matter of weeks, in the first couple of weeks of COVID, anything remote working related. And we did webinars for finding remote work to educate people around where they are, what they are, all of that. And then for companies to understand what remote done well looks like. Essentially, we need to free up information and make it easy and accessible for everybody to understand what remote work is.
There are companies, obviously, that are discovering remote work all of a sudden now and having to put measures in place that maybe they had on the long finger bringing those forward. What kind of things are companies doing around the country?
So I think that everybody's put the technology in place because they had no choice. And I know in a Gartner survey, 73% or 74% of CFOs said that they'll be partly or all remote after COVID. And I bet that's because CFOs are looking at the costs that are after going out and kind of looking to HR going, you need to make this work now. So we've seen that they've invested in technology. I was speaking about one organization who had to order, you know, 200 laptops in a day, a medium-sized organization. They're not going to just go back and put them in the showroom, Con. That's going to change. I think it's hard right now because it's a crisis. It's not remote working as it would usually be. So companies are trying to cope, maybe. And I think at this particular juncture, they're now looking to the future, to transitioning back to an office or not, or partly, and to moving forward again, beyond the new normal.
It's interesting. We're in a similar situation ourselves, as some of us in Black Knight work remotely. But as of the 13th of March, Tracy, we've all been working remotely and working quite effectively, I think, for the most part, remotely.
Well, it levels the playing field for people like you who are always remote. Now you have kind of remote should have equal access to people, information, context, and therefore opportunity. And that's not what we've had traditionally in Irish companies when John was just let go or Mary was just let go or whatever. And that's why we think that this next phase is really important, or else remote won't work and we'll all just end up going back to the office.
Yeah.
So there are a number of things that companies can do.
Ironically, Tracy, we were right in the middle of an office refurbishment. We were doubling our office space. And as I understand it, when the construction workers, I think, are going back to work next week, and that work is going to continue. But then again, with social distancing rules and things like that, people who continue to use office space may well need to have that space adapted, and they may need plenty of room and that kind of thing as well. Did you see Twitter yesterday announce that they can stay at home forever, their employees?
Jack had said the future of Twitter is remote last year. He was just waiting, I'd say, for the whole organization to kind of get up speed with where he was. Like, I think that's kind of where a lot of companies are going to go to. And again, I saw he got a little bit of backlash. There was an interview, News Talk. I didn't listen to it, but I did see some tweets. And they were like, a bit like that, kind of, well, not everybody wants to work remotely. Not everybody wants to work from home. And that's not at all what anybody is saying. Keep your office if you want your office. Keep whatever you want. From our perspective, we want equal access to opportunity no matter where you live. And so a job, when you advertise a job, which will be advertised, it could be advertised locationless, where it can be picked up from any community. So, but that might be, you might go into the office, you might not. And what we're seeing when people are surveying staff is that some are saying, let me back into the office. I don't want to be at home for a variety of reasons, personal to them, or they just want to be in the office. You have people who want to be in 2 days, 3 days, and you've got people who want to be fully remote. But the real key message around all that is that we need to wrap around remote first cultures in companies where any part of the organization is remote. That will increase the efficiency and the ability and the participation of your remote colleagues and drive more efficiency even in the office. So those are the kind of changes that we're going to see next, I think.
One of the strong arguments for remote working, and one of the, I think, interests that there has been in Grow Remote since you guys got underway, Tracy, has been from the rural development community in particular. And I note in particular the Western Development Commission someone that has been a supporter of Grow Remote, and in fact has been doing some survey of remote workers in the last couple of weeks since this crisis began. This crisis and this situation, which has been forced on society, Tracy, like you said, it's the squirrel that stops and suddenly, you know, what do you do next? It's interesting all the same, though. Wouldn't you agree it has the potential to perhaps redraw the map of, of Ireland, in a way, in terms of how resources have been clustered, perhaps in cities, how property prices in places like Dublin are unsustainable. There is an opportunity for a better spatial strategy and all of that kind of thing to come out of this, isn't there?
There is, for sure. To step back for a second on the Western Development Commission, they have been great. And I think one of the things that Grow Remote showed me anyway is just the ability to participate between private, community and the public sector. And what Western Development Commission were so supportive of us from the start and brought a set of skills. Like, we could get moving really quickly. Like, we could get up a website really quickly and do all that kind of stuff. And but they brought that other kind of side of the table that will keep us going. And it's just, it's invaluable when people like that come in behind you and you can match, get those skill sets in. So yes, it has the power to change. I do not think that we're there yet. So again, unless you can get into companies and change their culture, technology and policy, then you're kind of stuck. They might do 3 days in the office, 2 days out, but you still have to live in Dublin.
Yes.
Or you have to travel up and down, which is either your own money or their expenses. And given we're probably moving into a cost reduction environment, I don't think they're going to want to pay expenses for, you know, con driving up for Ennis. So I think that we have a body of work to do to educate companies around what needs to happen from their side to go locationless. You know, whether people can work from home, office or hybrid or whatever else they want. So it definitely will change things. But I'm not totally comfortable. I have a deep sense of urgency that...
That's what keeps you moving, Tracy, and that's how you get things done, I think some people would say. But yet, at the same time, would you agree that some of the arguments, at least, that have been put up against remote working, some of those have been deflated, have been knocked down, have been proven to be false? Obviously, it's not a panacea, but there is a certain amount of lessons that have been learned by organisations and individuals in spite of their own prejudices.
Absolutely. Like that, because there's nothing like putting something into action to properly test it. So, you know, it was a great experiment. I also think that some problems with remote work have occurred during this that wouldn't be there if remote work was just done as remote work and not in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
And people are associating new problems with remote working as opposed to remote working during a pandemic. But it definitely has. The biggest things that we're hearing is the division between home and work, because you can't get out of your home anyway, and it's all just merged into one big whatever. And communication/collaboration. So, but again, that's back to companies didn't have those processes in place to communicate remotely. So it's just a matter of getting them in, and that's why we want to free up information of the practitioners who have been doing this for years, so you can see very clearly how they do all of those pieces.
There's an interesting article in yesterday's Irish Times by Carolyn Lillington on that topic. You might have seen it. I'm going to post link to that with the notes on this podcast as well. The headline, "We Urgently Need an Employee's Manifesto on Working from Home." I'm also going to post some maps of Ireland that were posted, I think, on Twitter earlier in the week that I found really illustrative of the population. The population shift going back to before the famine, which was an unsustainable kind of a population for the island at the time, given the economic inequality that it was built on. There was a very, very large population of people on very precarious means. That's a whole other story we won't get into. But it's really, really interesting to see, though, and you probably saw it as well, I think, Tracy, that shift in the latter half of the 20th century to Dublin and the greater Dublin area.
Yeah, and jobs, key economic driver, fundamental part of your life.
Yeah.
If they're all in one place, you go there.
Excellent.
And then I suppose, Con, if you think about it just in terms of generations, you go there then, you meet somebody, you have family, then your kid's there and they're now dubs, and then they stay there and then it goes on and you lose a whole you know, series of generations.
Which people have argued hasn't been, and the growth and sprawl of Dublin hasn't necessarily been Dublin to Dublin's benefit either. We could talk about this all day, Tracy. It's lovely to talk to you again. It's good to catch up with you. I see you're busy. You're always busy. You're always achieving. Don't work too hard. Take care of yourself. How are things with you personally in relation to the crisis? I ask everyone who's on the show.
Intense. Like somebody said, "Oh, you're taking a break." And I'm like, we're in the middle of a pandemic when remote work is one of the biggest things to come out of it. Do you think I'm taking a break after all of this? I would love three big announcements from Irish companies saying we're going remote. And when that happens, I was going to say go away for a week, but I will actually take a break for a week. But right now is not the time. Now we need speed and momentum and all of those things. So it's just intense.
Yeah. And I know that you guys were planning events for later in the year. Have you decided not to have physical gatherings or is it all going to be online or is it all up in the air for now?
All online. No, we're not going to do anything that affects public health at all.
Well, Black Knight is a supporter and a sponsor of Grow Remote. Fair play to you. And thanks
from the very start.
Thank you, Tracy. And thanks for the work that you're doing. Keep it up and stay safe. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne.
That's Tracy Keogh, our guest on the podcast today. A couple of points. One point, actually, that I just want to mention, which is that we've recorded this and all the other podcasts in the series using Zoom. Zoom have released Zoom 5.0. You may have seen warnings or announcements about it when you start up, and giving you the opportunity each time you started to upgrade to the latest enhanced security version of Zoom. You should do that. If you don't do it by the end of May, you'll be forced to do it anyway at that stage. It's an upgrade for security purposes that is required. Sinead Weldon Trossa, we'll be back with two more episodes next week, Tuesday and Friday. Good evening, Slán go fóill.